The Melbourne AA Steps Weekend, 2009. Here's Frank, sharing on step one.
Yeah, good morning, friends. My name is Frank. I'm an alcoholic, and I'm sober. I'm sober this morning, and my home group is the Steps and Setting Group, and my sobriety date is the 17th of August, 2004. I start by telling you a little bit about my story. I was born and I grew up in Germany, and I started drinking there when I was about 15, 16, and I drank like my mates, or it looked at least as if I was drinking like most of my mates in the beginning, and but 10 years down the track, I found myself at the first AA meeting, you know, and I definitely was at the right place then. I'm not sober since then. That was, I was 26, 17 years ago, 16 years ago. And what had happened, by the time I was 26, I was daily drinking for pretty much most of those 10 years, and I found I couldn't stop, you know. I had to drink, and I had to drink daily, and by the end I had to drink to stop the shakes and to be doing what I had to do, you know. And I had jobs like driving a taxi, you know, weekend night shifts, and that were 12-hour shifts, you know. And believe me, when you're thirsty, 12 hours are very, very long, you know. Yeah, it got really, really hard, you know. And my solution then, or my idea of dealing with it, was, and I did that. I went to a doctor and I wanted medication, you know. I thought that could work, you know. I take medication whenever I didn't want to drink, or I would be better off not drinking. And luckily, the doctor I spoke to was knew a bit about this, I suppose, and she didn't want to give me those medications, and she said, you would just use and abuse those as well. And I'm very happy, I'm very grateful today that I never was introduced to medication, because that could or would have possibly added a whole other chapter to my drinking, to my life, you know, to my story, and I might be dead today. And another thing I probably was, and I say probably because it's not as if I remember it all clear, you know. It's long time ago. It's a big haze, you know. I remember bits, and some bits I just imagine that's how they were, you know. And but I must have been honest to quite a degree and desperate to quite a degree with that female doctor, and so that she was able to sort of help me, you know. And she suggested to do a detox, and I agreed, you know. And that was a very big step, because that meant, without knowing about that first step, but it was out there then, you know. I admitted that booze and I wasn't such a good combination, you know. And family would know, and because I didn't make up a story, I told family and friends that I was about to go into a hospital for a detox, and a lot of them were surprised, or at least acted surprised. There were mates who said, "What do you mean, alcoholic? You know, you're not drinking more than we do. You know, if you're one, we are one," and all that sort of stuff, you know. But see, they didn't know that when we left the pub, I went home to a fridge that only had beer in it, you know, no food, and that I would finish myself off then, you know, and all that business. And anyway, so there I was. I agreed to go into the detox, and it was only like, and that female doctor, she said to me, "Look, getting off the alcohol under supervision is easy. You'll be in there for 5 nights, but staying off it will be the harder bit, you know." And so it was. I was in the hospital. And towards the end, there was an AA meeting, and I attended that, and I guess it was good, it was interesting. I got a bit of hope, I believe. And again, I say that because I don't really remember much. I don't remember banners, I don't remember people talking about steps. But I do remember people getting their lives better again, you know, and I could sense the honesty in the room, and I probably did get a bit of hope, and but I wasn't to stay. See, I got out of the hospital. I went to one meeting a week. Everybody was older. Everybody was male. I guess I didn't want to be there. You know, it was just bad news. You know, although you said it's only a day at a time, you know, I was smart enough, or I had worked it out, you know, a day after a day after a day is a bloody long lifetime, you know, and I was only 26, and I didn't get, what you mean, not go to my, they're my friends, you know, they're all I have, they're the ones who stood by me the last 10 years, or the last 20 years, or 26 years, or whatever, you know, the soccer I loved, I wasn't that good anymore. I was happily going from first to second to third team because it meant less training and more booze, you know, but I still loved all the, you know, like you guys love your footy, that's what the soccer was for me. And so bottom line is I sat in those meetings and I wasn't happy with the diagnosis, I guess, you know, and I wanted out of these doors. And so I guess I found myself listening to the differences, and there were a few, you know, that people talk about divorces and jail sentences and losing custody of kids, and none of that had happened to me, you know. And of course, you know, I think Lillian said last night, one meeting a week makes you weak. You know, I never heard that before. So, I left, you know. I didn't stay. I thought, of course, on a meeting a week, the disease got the better of me and told me, you know, maybe I had exaggerated a bit, and so I went out again, you know. And but one thing happened, one thing changed for me. I never really went back to daily drinking. I mean, I would binge drink over 4 or 5 days, but I always sort of managed to get a few days without the drink in, and I guess that's how I conned myself into believing that I had some sort of grip on my drinking, or that my drinking now resembled something like social or controlled drinking or whatever, you know. But needless to say that alcohol occupied me still 24/7, whether I drank it or not, you know. I was, when I wasn't drinking, I was planning the next drink and looking forward to it, and fantasizing about it, and not only when would I drink next, I would have also go and plan when would I slow down again to be off it by that and that day, to be able to do such and such task. You know, it was just such a nightmare. And thinking back of it, you know, it wasn't living; it was surviving. It was so hard work, you know. And but I did that. For 11 long years, you know. For 11 long years, I tried to do it my way. I tried to do everything but AA. And not even really knowing it or being aware of it. Because when I come to that part of my story, or think about that part of my story, I would think, one should think that every so often I would remember AA or contemplate maybe going back, you know. But no, I had wiped that part of my brain off, I think, you know. Such is the denial, or I guess that's what it is, or the delusion or whatever, you know. I'm not too sure on those definitions. But 11 long years I tried it my way, you know, until coming up in August, it will be 5 years ago, I've come to that crossroads, or whatever you want to call it. Again, that point, I had been at 26, you know, and at 26 my idea was to go to the doctor. Well, now I was 37 5 years ago. And I knew that wasn't an option, and it's progressed, you know. I was 11 years worth, you know, because I, and now it was, now my solution was killing myself, you know, because there was no hope left. There was no, I couldn't see why to go on, you know, and so now it was, that was my idea now, and obviously I had second thoughts, and I want to fast forward now because I want to speak a bit about recovery as well. So, yeah, then in August 2004, I reached out again and I remembered there was AA, and I thought there's a good chance there might be AA in Melbourne, you know. And I called the operator and they put me on to the central office, and it was a Tuesday, and and they said, there's a meeting, and the guy on the phone said, there's a meeting in Footscray, but it's a discussion group, and it's a closed meeting, and I don't think it's good if you're a newcomer, you know, if you've never been to AA. And I wanted so bad, because I sort of knew, I didn't think those words, but I think in my gut I knew it was AA or Amen, you know, and I wanted to go to this meeting. So I said, oh, I've been, you know, I've been 11 years ago. And he says, oh, okay, go on then, you know. And I was very welcomed at that meeting, you know. And the next day I went to another meeting, and people who were at that Tuesday meeting were there, and they remembered my name. And you all experienced that, I guess, a bit, you know. And yeah, and this time things were different for me. This time I really got the hope. I immediately, pretty much immediately, saw people. Well, actually, immediately, I fell in love with one of the girls at that meeting, you know. So that made me come back. But, you know, good, you know, good I came back. Doesn't matter why, you know. But really immediately, because my coming in here was a relationship breakup, see. The girl I was together with for 7 years gave me, finally had enough. And that wasn't good news, you know. And funny enough, I told the boys I came with, I had coffee with her yesterday because I'm going overseas and we're friends today, you know. And I wasn't happy 5 years ago, but today I know it's the best that's ever happened to me, you know. But 5 years ago, I thought all I wasn't so interested in sobriety program and AA. I think what I wanted was just another girlfriend, you know. And could she please be better looking, smarter than the one, more money maybe, you know, than the one that... that kicked me out, and you know, lucky that wasn't to happen, and I was that one suggested year by myself, you know, and it's all happened. It had to happen for me, you know. But what I wanted to say, so very soon after coming, pretty much immediately, I came across actually a lot of people. Who I could see were happy, you know, who had what I wanted, who could bring across that they were happy about not drinking, you know, that they were not just white knuckling, and that's what I wanted, you know. And for me, I know that a friend of mine in the program, he says that he was cooked when he came into AA, you know, and 5 years ago I was cooked. I was ready. I think I had arrived at that first step. I had thrown the towel in, and I was finally teachable, and I wasn't here for an argument anymore. And today I know that that is essential, you know, that I have to be, in order to be successful with this program, I have to be willing, I have to have an open mind, and I have to be honest, you know, foremost to myself, you know, cut out the bullshit, you know. Yeah, so yeah, I lost where I was going now. Yeah, I was ready for this, you know. I was teachable, and I know that's not the case for everybody, you know. I just heard it was just pointed out to me recently by somebody that the first half of the book, there's 160 pages on describe 160 odd pages describing the program, and then about 100 pages are devoted to the recovery bit, and about half of it talks about the first, or maybe the first and the second step. So it's not quite as simple, apparently, as just walking into an AA meeting and thinking one has taken the first step, you know. And it says in that book, we had to learn to conceive to our innermost self that we can't drink, you know. That are not the exact words, but that's, I think, what it means to say. And it says to learn, you know. So it can be quite a learning process, apparently, you know. Luckily for me, this book makes sense. I don't need to argue it, and I treat it for what it is, you know, a textbook, and that explains me how to live, you know. Because I've just been to a meeting 2 days ago where a speaker said, you know, me as an alky, my problem is not the alcohol, you know, my problem is me and living, and my natural state is being irritable, discontent, what's the other one?
Restless.
Irritable, restless, and discontent, you know, and I used alcohol to combat that as the medication, and it worked a while and then it stopped, you know, we all know that, otherwise we wouldn't be here, and so now the remedy is a spiritual way of living, and that gives me peace of mind. You know, the peace of mind I have today is the opposite to that restlessness and that discontentment and that, you know, and that's what I get out of this program. I will close on saying, and that also makes sense to me because I've experienced that this is the step I really have to swallow, you know, 100%, no arguing, you know, no little bit of maybe or 99.99, because if I do that, I drink again, you know. If I have the slightest doubt, maybe I'm not, maybe I'm different, you know, I'll drink, you know. So this is the step I have to do 100%, and then. I came, and after about, I was going really well in my first weeks and months, maybe up to 6 months, and then I came to a bit of a standstill. But by those 6 months, I had met a lot of people, talked to a lot of you, learned to talk, and then somebody said, well, maybe it's time for you to look at those steps, just going to the very good ID meetings I attended, you know, beautiful. But it wasn't enough anymore, and then I knew I needed help with those steps, because that the other stuff after step two was Chinese, you know, and all the stuff we will be hearing over the weekend, you know, what I called God steps, and I wasn't interested in religion, and I since learned that this is not a religious show, you know, and I heard another lovely thing somebody said, you know, if you look at the 9-step promises, you know, that they're in this book. After working this program, after the 9-step, there's some promises in there. That person said to me, they don't talk about the afterlife, you know, they talk about this life. So this is not a religious show. This is a spiritual program. So I needed help with all these other steps, and that's when I started attending the different steps meetings, and they've done me a lot of good, and I still go, there's a lot of different ones in Melbourne, and that's, I guess, what the workshops are for. You get an idea how, you know, some have the big book out and do a bit of reading and studying. Very good, you know. It's so beneficial to know this book, and every time I read it, I find something new in it. I've read it a couple of times first, and then I've read it with the help of this Joe and Charlie tapes. It's a workshop, if you don't know what that is, ask. Pretty much any of us, or a lot of us, know it, and you find, I don't know how to do it, but they're on the internet. That's when I read the book with those tapes, well, the pennies just dropped, you know, and in an entertaining way, you know, and in a real good way. So I feel blessed that it's a big one to be able to say, you know, I'm comfortable with this book, it makes sense to me, and I'm happy to follow its suggestions, and I leave it at that, and we need the fellowship, you know. I also learned, I know and understand that I can't do it by myself. It wouldn't work taking that book home with me and just reading it by myself. So thanks for being here for me. Thanks.
This share and other shares like it are available from our website, stepsweekend.aagroup.org.au. Thanks for letting us share.